You know that before I go into the gospel lesson, I always have to say a few things. One thing I want to say before I forget it is how very much God has blessed this church for the last 29 years with Janine Taylor as your director of Christian education. She has been with you through everything that's happened in all those years. She came 1 year after I came. Right, just when she finished college. Her mother's here today to celebrate. We're so glad, Glenda, you're here from Wisconsin. But I can't tell you how much she helped me all those years and how special she is. She's one of God's superstars. We're going to be talking about that. And she is one of them, and I was afraid I'd forget to say that. So I hope that at some point when you see Janine, you'll thank her for her faithfulness to God and to the people of this congregation and this community. She's a jewel. They're no more like her. Okay. We are talking about Jesus' superstar this morning. When I say superstar, what comes to your mind? If you're a sports fan, it might be Russell Wilson, and they're playing right now, so I guess you're recording it. It might be some other football player. Or it might be a basketball player, or it might be some musician. You know, you have people that you think are superstars. Some of them are movie stars. That kind of superstar usually is a pro, and they make lots of money. We're going to redefine that word superstar this morning. The superstar that we want to talk about is like what Janine read about in the epistle lesson in Colossians. It's a person who puts others first, who does things for them, who knows that God loves them and has given them everything they have. And so they live their life for Christ by reaching out to love and care about others. I got to thinking about this the other night when Andrea called, and she said Axel insisted to call Pine Pan Pan. That's what he called us. And so she said he has something to tell you. He's 4 and a half now, and he's quite a character. And so I thought, oh, what is he going to tell us tonight? One night he recited all the presidents from George Washington all the way through Obama, and I just about fainted. And so I thought, okay, we'll see what he has tonight. And he said, "Fine, Pan Pan, I'm a superstar." And Andrew said, "Well, tell him why." He said, "Because at preschool today, the teacher said I was kind and that I shared my book with my little friend." And I thought, thank God for that Christian teacher who is already instilling in a 4 and a half year old that what's important in being a superstar is being kind and sharing whatever you have. I could give the benediction right now, couldn't I? That's it. That's what I'm preaching today. Axel is a superstar. If a 4 and a half year old can be a superstar, what in the world's wrong with the rest of us? Let's get with it. In the gospel lesson today, we see Christ speaking to a young lawyer who wasn't exactly a superstar. Jesus Christ, superstar. Jesus is our leader, he is our example, he is our strength, he enables us to be the superstar he wants us to be. And in this passage, he's calling the young lawyer to be a superstar. But he can't quite give up what he thinks is important. As I read this, I want you to consider carefully whether you are willing to be one of Jesus' superstars. Let us stand, and as you stand, please listen carefully to every word as I read the gospel lesson. It's, of course, the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 25. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, another religious person, a Levite, when he came by and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, a nobody, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He came to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine over them. Then he put him on his own animal, meaning that he would walk along beside, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out money and gave it to the innkeeper, and he said, take really good care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you've had to spend. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he said to Jesus, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Amen. The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Right there in that story, Jesus outlines for us what his superstar would look like. It is very, very clear. We don't have to look any farther than the passage of the Good Samaritan. In this passage, we see that Jesus knows the young man is going to have great difficulty. And in another gospel, we read that he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. Those are tragic words, some of the most tragic words in the New Testament. He could not give up what he had in order to follow Jesus. And so the very first thing about being a superstar for Jesus is this. You're willing to listen to what Jesus said. Go and do likewise. And to do this, you have got to be aware of what is happening around you. You cannot go through life as if with a blinder on, only seeing what you want, what you have, and what you will accomplish, and never thinking about anybody else. That is not a superstar. A superstar pays attention. Many years ago, an ancient teacher, a very wise man, had a young student, and he was trying to teach him just what we're talking about. And so he told the young man, he had a bucket of water sitting there that was just brim full. It was so full, you'd have to be careful picking it up or anything. He said to the young man, I want you to take this bucket full of water, and I want you to take it through the town and bring it back to me and set it right down right where it was. So the young man picks it up, goes out, comes back about 2 hours later. He's walked all through the town with that bucket of water. Comes back and sets it down at the feet of the master, and he says, "Master, here is the bucket. I have not spilled one drop." Master said, "Very good." He said, "What did you see as you walked through town?" "See," he said, "I was so focused on the water not spilling, I didn't see anything." And the wise teacher said, "The great emperor was in procession down the street that you were walking down. He didn't see anything. He missed everything." How many of us miss everything because we're so focused on what we want? One modern thing that helps you out with not focusing on anything is your smartphone. Go into a restaurant, all the people in there, in the line at Chick-fil-A, all the people in line, all the people. Are you paying attention to anything around you? Are you paying attention to the family in your home? Are you paying attention to the students that you go to school with? How about your office? Wherever you are, are you aware of any of their needs? Do you ever speak to them to see how they're doing, to see if anything in their life is really something you would need to pray about? That's another thing. Jesus' superstars pray for everybody. You have a prayer list every week in your bulletin. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of you take that home and at least go through that at least once during the week? The people on that list are your fellow parishioners and their families and their friends for whom they are requesting prayer. Jesus hears and answers every prayer. I've never known anybody who said in sincerity, "Oh, Jesus, help me," that Jesus refused to help. Are you praying for them or not? As I walk out today, I hope I don't see any of those prayer sheets left on the pews, and I hope you take it home and use it. It's also in your computer in case you'd rather use it in the computer. A superstar prays for others. And the other thing, very importantly, in paying attention, you've got to listen. I don't think we listen very well to anybody. It's so hard. There's so many things that crowd into our life, and we're so busy that it's hard to hear and pay attention. Oh, 9/11, after that plane hit the Pentagon and just tore up everything, there was a day center in there where there were many little toddlers and many babies in the cribs, children of the employees in the Pentagon, and the director was just frantic because she needed to evacuate the children. Well, she had two young women helping her, and the cribs were those old-fashioned kinds. They were really heavy, like iron or something like that, really heavy cribs. And she was just frantic. And about that time, a young Marine walked in. He said, "Can I help you all in any way?" And she explained it, and he just turned around and left. She said, "Oh, great, I thought we were going to get help." About 2 minutes later, here comes the Marine, and he brought 40 other Marines with him, all young, strong young men. They came in there, and they took the cribs, two of them, this and that, and the others rounded up the toddlers. They took them out, and the daycare center director just, oh, my goodness, she was so thrilled and happy that somebody heard her and helped her. And the Marines took them way down toward the Potomac, stopped in a park, and they circle the cribs up, like in the old West, they'd circle the wagons up, you know, to be protected against any. And then they put the toddlers in the middle. They couldn't get out, so they could play in there. And I mean, they were great. So she was so happy that somebody listened and helped her. And then they gathered on the outside and stood guard until the parents came to get the children. My goodness, where are the Marines when we need them? You know, if you ask, you get help. That's praying, that's paying attention, that's helping other people. One other thing in the parable of the Good Samaritan that we don't particularly like to stop on is this. He took that man to a nice motel where he could receive help and have his wounds dressed and everything. And he didn't say he'll pay you when he gets well, did he? He said, "Here is some money. And if this is not enough, when I come back through here," evidently he traveled on his business or whatever, he said, "I will give you more money." Have you ever done that? Have you ever known somebody who was really needy and you helped them by giving them money for their rent or their groceries? I think today we think, oh, well, the government's going to take care of them. That is not a Jesus superstar. If you see somebody in need and you have the means to help them, Jesus expects you to help them. And the other thing, a Jesus superstar is willing to risk their own safety and their life to help others. Superstars do whatever they can to help whoever's in their path. And I hope that as you understand how much God loves you and that Jesus is always with you through his Holy Spirit, taking care of everything, that you will be willing to join Jesus superstars. In closing, I want to share with you a story about a man who grew up in Tennessee in a small town, a very poor family, really. And in their religious tradition, which was Seventh-day Adventist, they taught that God forbids us to take up arms against another person. And that was in the time of World War II. This man, Desmond Doss, knew that he could not shoot anybody else. But he was not a draft dodger. And so he joined the army. He could have had a religious, you know, exemption, but he wanted to serve God and his country. And so he went into the army. He said, not as a conscientious objector, but as a conscientious cooperator. And he became an army medic. That doesn't sound important. But what he did in the future months was very much unbelievable. He served God and country, and he saved hundreds of lives. Because even though he only weighed 140 pounds, he was a tiny man, he was willing to risk his life over and over and over. In one particular case, in May 1945, on the island of Okinawa in the Pacific, some of the bloodiest, most horrific battles were fought there. Oh, my goodness. If you didn't get shot by the gun, you got the bayonet. Just slaughter everywhere. And on this day, the fighting was way up a cliff, a sharp cliff, 25 feet up where they were fighting. And he knew that there were wounded up there. What do you think he did? Oh, he didn't go the other way, and he didn't walk away. He rigged up some kind of litter with ropes, and he went on it up there. And this is under heavy fire, mortar fire, rifle fire, every kind of fire. He goes up, gets one, does what he can, brings him down. He did that for 12 hours. He brought down 75 wounded soldiers. And that was just one day. Usually a person gets a Medal of Honor for one act of bravery. He did this same thing over and over. He saved hundreds of lives. And you know, when he first went into service, everybody, even his commanding officer, just practically, called him everything, coward and all the bad words you can think of, curse words, because he wouldn't pick up a gun. And on the day that Harry Truman presented him the Medal of Honor, the highest honor for an enlisted man, there were several soldiers in that audience who were in tears. So happy that he was receiving the Medal of Honor and so ashamed of themselves for calling him a coward because Desmond Doss had saved every one of their lives. What are we willing to save lives for Christ? Not on the battlefield, but here. Are you sharing Jesus' love with anybody? Are they seeing it in you and in what you're doing and what you're saying every day? Do people know you're a Christian, not because you tell them, but because of the glow on your face and your kindness and your love and the grace and the help that you give them? Jesus, this morning, as we come to this table, it is Jesus' table, and he made it possible by giving his life on the cross so that you and I could invite him into our lives, and he lives in us through his Spirit, empowering us to reach out and love others. Now, you can squelch his Spirit down, or you can free that Spirit and let Jesus live through you as that Good Samaritan did. Jesus lived through him. Everything he did for that man was what Jesus has done for all of us. Jesus has picked us up wherever we are, held us tenderly and soothed us, and continues to do that when anything bad happens in our lives. He's there more than anyone in his Spirit. He will never leave you or forsake you. And so you and I are called to love our neighbors. That's everybody in the world. They're our neighbors, as ourselves. How can we come to his table and refuse to be one of his superstars? What are you going to do this week? Are you going to just go home and forget about what we had in church, the wonderful hymns, the scripture, God's word revealed to us? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you go down to coffee? Are you going to greet everybody and speak to people and to visitors? Are we making everybody welcome here in this church? Are we all superstars here? Oh God, I pray every day that we are. Think about, especially as you come to this table this morning, who are you really? Are you the young lawyer who could not give up his possession? Or are you the lowly Good Samaritan who did everything he possibly could to help that man through the love of Christ? I beg you this morning, free the Spirit of Christ of love and grace and kindness and helpfulness. Let it be free in you to reach out to so many other people. That is my prayer for you and for all of us on this day. And as we come to our morning prayers, I hope you will pray with me. This is not my prayer. This is what it says in the bulletin. It's your prayers, prayers of all the people in the church this morning. We will be praying, of course, for the people on that list. You know, all you have to do is think somebody's name and just think, God bless that person. And God hears that prayer. Praying is not hard and doesn't take a lot of time. You can do that anytime. Just think about that person. So this morning, I want all of us to think together and raise these people up to God's throne, that God can bless these people who are on your prayer list and whose names we call out this morning. God knows who they are and what they need. All the other information on there is for you to know. We don't have to give God the information that they're sick or somebody's died or whatever. We just need to hold the names up. Do you understand? That's what I will do as we pray this morning. Join me in your prayers as I voice them. Let us come to God and ask.